Thanks, Chairman. Look, I'd also like to speak in favour of the resolution. I think that what happened at AWB over the last 5 or 6 years is a classic case of board governance failure, where we had a flawed governance structure, where a particular interest group was mandated board control. We had directors on the board without the requisite corporate governance experience. And at a board level, we basically had too many directors who didn't have the skills to catch on with the fact that we were slipping $290 million to a notorious dictator. And I think it's quite amazing that even today, we still have four long-serving directors who have been on the board for more than 7 years. And I think it's good, it's appropriate that three of them are retiring today in John Simpson, Warwick McClellan and Chris Moffat. And I think that is appropriate. It's the honourable thing to have done. But it's only part of the reform program. There is still the issue of Brendan, who is a long-serving director as well, who should be held responsible for what happened. And this reform process will also see Brendan move on. So I think you can say that we will have a complete, clean-skinned new board, appropriately staffed with people who've got the correct backgrounds to take this company forward in a commercial way. And I think that it's important today that we do hear from the opponents of this reform process. I think everyone that I've seen or spoken to who's had a close look at it is saying publicly that this should be supported. But you read in the press that there are candidates for the board such as Jock Munro, Russell McKenzie and Colin Nicol who are opposed to it, who are Cold War warriors who want to somehow hang on to the single desk, which is an impossible mission. So I think those three gentlemen should get up now and tell us B-class shareholders who've put more than $500 million into this company, who are down by hundreds of millions of dollars, who own 75% of the actual capital that's put into the company. The B-class shareholders are about 25% farmer-owned. So we're down hundreds of million, and we're watching the share price at a record low because of Cold War warriors who are saying we want to hang on to this flawed structure that will sap confidence from the AWB share price, that will push institutional investors away from this company because we can't trust the structure to produce a board that will take us forward. So we're losing our shirts, the B-class shareholders, and that includes all the farmers who are on the register for a quarter of the total capital. And it's incumbent that we hear from these opponents today exactly how they'll get the share price up to $3, $4, exactly why they want to roll the chairman, why they want to stop a proper reform process going forward. So I think we should have an open debate and hear from these people, because I haven't heard anyone stand up and put a cogent argument against this change. This board stuffed up. The structure was flawed. We're fixing the flawed structure. We're going to have a proper board. The share price will rise. We'll have a positive future. And I think the opponents of this reform program should stand up and be counted today and have an open debate. Thank you. Chairman, I'd like to speak in favour of this resolution as well. I think the point to remember for B-class shareholders, especially the growers who own at the moment about $180 million worth of B-class shares, is we want to restore some value in that. We want to get that 25% stake in AWB up from $180 million to $300 million, $400 million. First, we've got to get a credible board on and rebuild our credibility in the market. Then we've got to operate commercially, and we've got to get the shares re-rated. So the new board is the first step for getting a decent re-rating, and moving to a regular share structure with this resolution is part of that process. We want to take over premium in our share price because that will lift the shares from $2.17 to $3, $4, $5. If there's a perception in the market that we are a well-operated, competent company, that could, in the long term, be taken over. Now, I think this is an appropriate transition strategy. 3-year protection. Other companies on the ASX that have had these poison pills, AGL, Santos, in that case, in those two cases, it was to stop Alan Bond and Sir Ron Briley from taking them over. So this is not unusual, although in those two cases, it was government legislation that provided the protection. So the reality here is that we could pass this resolution today, and a whole bunch of institutions could buy 9.9%, and they could put up a resolution to get rid of the 10% protection at the next AGM, and that could be voted on and that could happen. So that's the reality here, is that you are making yourself more exposed to takeover by doing this. this should be a good thing. This should be welcome because this will get the share price up, keep the board on their toes. If they don't perform, they'll get taken out. And we're all wealthier from having a higher share price. So I think that we should support this resolution along with the proposed change to the Constitution as a whole. And I guess the one question I've got, Chairman, is would you be able to advise us of the proxy position after the debate, but before we actually go to the poll? I think a few of us are interested in seeing what the combination of the B-class shareholders have done on both resolutions, because the feeling is that the B-class shareholders will back strongly both resolutions here, and it will all come down to the A-class shareholders at the subsequent meeting. So we'd be interested in seeing what the proxy position is before we go to the poll, just so we can get a bit of a timely sense of where the situation's at. Thank you.
Certainly, yes, Mr. May. The proxy positions will be displayed on the screen prior to the taking of the poll.
Is this now time for questions for Peter for his election, or is it all at the end?
Well, I mean, the notice of meeting has included information about the candidates, so I'm happy to take just a quick question if Mr. Paulson's prepared to answer it.
All right. Well, as Peter's one of our representatives of the B-class shareholders, I guess one of the areas where we're in the dark a bit here is everyone's expecting Brendan's going to go, and who's going to be the next chairman of AWB. And I'm curious, as Peter's one of our longest-serving and most respected directors, if you can give some indication as to whether we currently believe the next chairman is on the board, and also the long-term commitment of the B-class shareholders if this doesn't work out. So if you get rolled, Brendan, and there's not a commitment to try and put this up again, are we going to see a mass exodus of our respected B-class directors? So I guess my question to Peter is, are you here for the full term no matter what happens? No matter what happens? Or would there be circumstances where you would find it untenable, which would be a disaster for us B-class shareholders, but that is the great fear we have, that you all get rolled and our good directors quit and this becomes a complete shambles and the share price falls even further. So we need to hear from Peter about his level of commitment in these different scenarios.
I'll answer the first part of the statement in relation to the board's preparation and planning for a new chairman. I mean, it's clear in terms of my position what's going to happen going forward, because I've made it very clear that once the constitutional reforms are accepted, I'll be standing down and I won't be seeking re-election to whatever the successor board is. It's actually one of the chairman's duties to actually ensure appropriate succession planning. I have to say it's been very difficult in this organisation, given the structure of the board and the current constitutional requirement, given that it requires a current A-class elected director to be appointed as chairman. It is not envisaged that that will be the case under a new constitution, and I think therefore it is appropriate for whoever the new board is to actually then decide who that chairman would be. But I think there's also an obligation on us, before we bring a new constitution, for the directors who remain to discuss amongst themselves, and for the directors who are there to discuss amongst themselves and recommend to the shareholders a chairman-elect going forward. And in my view, that person is on the board already.
Stephen, I don't want to get into the detail, but the only comment I would make, and obviously individuals will make their own decisions, the only comment I would make, that is, I don't believe, and that's a personal belief, that we will be able to attract and retain the right commercial directors under the existing constitution. I think that the company can only attract and retain the best talent as directors under a changed constitution.
The only other thing I would add, Stephen, in relation to your commitment, where's the board committed to ongoing reform? This board certainly is. I know that there's been issues in relation to the elections and the way some candidates have positioned themselves, but the reality is when you're not a board director, you have all flexibility to say whatever you like. When you become a board director, you are duty-bound by your constitution and the Corporations Act to act in the best interest of the company as a whole. So this board will remain committed to reform of its constitution.
Just a follow-up question on a similar point, Chairman. There aren't many companies that actually have a market cap which is significantly below the claimed net assets in the balance sheet. And AWB, with its plunging share price of late, has now joined that very small club. We've claimed audited net assets of $1.1 billion, yet our market cap's only about $750 million at the moment. So we're claiming we're worth 40% more than what the market says we're worth. Clearly, the change of government happened after our last balance day in November. So assuming that this well, some people are saying it's a governance discount and it's a legislation discount, but assuming the share price stays where it is, I assume we're going to have to take a write-down and reflect a permanent diminution of some of the assets on our balance sheet. So maybe it's a question for John Schmoll as the chairman of the audit committee. Maybe the auditor, Brett Callio, could pony up on this one as well, because there is a $350 million or $300 million disparity between the current market cap. And I would have thought that if it stays at those levels, you're going to have to look at that over the coming period. And we are facing a write-down and a net loss for the next period. If that was to happen, where does the 40 to 60% payout ratio of after-tax dividend, after-tax profit sit? I mean, if you actually do take the write-down, can you continue to make a payout of a dividend? Thank you.
There's a number of issues in there, Stephen, obviously. I mean, in relation to where we're at the moment, in relation to the dividend policy, we'll start. We've said we've reviewed it to both the half and the full year each year. Any sensible board would do that. In relation to share value, look, I mean, the market at the end of the day will set what they believe is a fair and reasonable value. Our goal is to get that as high as possible, obviously. There is a range of uncertainties that's around the company at the moment. Obviously, constitutional reform today, future of wheat marketing, how we're going to participate in the industry consolidation, what shape, in fact, the future market will take place. So, look, I think in that sense, the board will have to be very cognizant of those issues and will have to respond appropriately to them. But I'm not going to give any forecasts and take away any flexibility in terms of what the board's options are in relation to that, but certainly there are issues that we're well aware of.